Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. It is Wednesday, June 13th. 2018, and you are now locked into the most entertaining hour of your day. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I am the man behind the mic. I'll be steering this ship. We've got a lot to get to on today's show, including a big loss for the Detroit Tigers, a pretty big name. I'm going to put in perspective why I believe that this name may be really kaput when it comes to his career in the world of baseball. Which is a bit unfortunate because he is one of the, if not the, and has been the name for the Detroit Tigers organization for a long time. So we'll bring that story to you. We'll have extended dialogue on that. Also, Jaren Jackson Jr., I don't know if you guys have been following his workout circuit, but he is turning heads when it comes to his workouts. Specifically, there was one workout that he had in the past few days that has a lot of teams buzzing, so much so that it's rumored that there are a lot of teams out there that are willing to move up to snag Jaren Jackson Jr. How about that? Also, Miles Bridges, if you follow both of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges on their Twitter feed and Instagram, you know that they've been posting different pictures of different workouts with certain teams. I've seen Miles Bridges working out with the Chicago Bulls. And in one of the comments, I actually saw Denzel Valentine, also a former Michigan State men's basketball player who is starting to really butter his bread in the NBA and come along. He commented below that video of Miles Bridges in a Chicago Bulls workout jersey saying, "Hey, come to us, bro. You look good in that red and black." That was pretty funny. And also, Miles Bridges, I also saw that he was working out for the Philadelphia 76ers as well. But both of these players are on the workout circuit. But I really want to hone in on how Miles Bridges is, you know, seemingly raising his stock even further when it comes to the various workouts that he has had for different teams. All right. Also, excited about this interview. It's been a while that we've had a high school athlete here live on WKAR's Current Sports, whether that be in studio or via phone. And we have the privilege of welcoming to Studio S Malin Smith, who is a high school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan, who also holds the record for the ninth longest throw in the country this year. How about that? Malin Smith will be joining me for segment B. You don't want to miss that chat. She is a fantastic athlete at Waverly High School, and she's just completed her senior year, and she will be taking her talents to a certain college that you have to wait and find out where she's going, if you don't already know. All right, so Malin Smith will join me live here in Studio S, and then on the back end of the show, we will address a question that I posed yesterday, but we didn't get a chance to tackle it. Are the Golden State Warriors hurting basketball? I'll explain from a competitive standpoint and from a play standpoint. So you don't want to miss that. And we'll do all of that while, of course, taking your calls. If you would like to be a part of the hour, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News, the live stream up and running there. Comment below the video
and you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And we're doing something actually really cool on today's show. We've never done this before, but this week we want to give away two vouchers, a pair, again, one person will get these two vouchers, to any Lansing Lugnuts game of choice throughout this summer. But we make you earn things like this, prizes like this here on WKAR's Current Sports, all right? So what we're going to do, in honor of the U.S. Open beginning tomorrow, round one action of the U.S. Open in the world of golf, we're going to be taking caller golf picks on who will lead the U.S. Open after round one so that we can give away these hot babies, these hot vouchers on Friday's show. Now, you callers out there can only choose one golfer. The winner will win these two vouchers, again, for any Lansing Lugnuts game of his or her choice. So all you have to do is call into the show, give me a golfer name. Once that name is picked, callers who follow that caller can no longer select that chosen golfer. Pretty simple, right? If your golfer is the one who leads the pack after round one, and we'll have to sort out things depending on if it's a tie, right? But if your golfer is numero uno, you win the voucher. Pretty simple, right? Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Alrighty, we begin with some local high school baseball and softball updates when it comes to the postseason. The Grand Ledge Comets, Diamond Classic champion, Grand Ledge Comets. Unfortunately, their season came to an end in the world of baseball to end in the D1 state quarterfinal, following a pitching showdown. A walk-off single from Woodhaven Warriors, Kyle Ray, won the game to advance to the state semifinals that will take place here on the campus of Michigan State University. So a great year cut just short for Pat O'Keefe's outstanding Grand Ledge Comets baseball team. However, we've got a few other local teams that are still in the running. Big ups to the Eaton Rapids softball team. Eaton Rapids softball continues to roll following a 12-4 dub over Flat Rock in the D2 quarterfinals. Mackenzie Anderson, who thought her softball career was over with, played a big part in this tournament run for her school, making multiple defensive plays, including a diving catch to get Eaton Rapids out of the inning. ER advances to their first state semi since 1981 and will play tomorrow here at MSU. All right, Garrett Larner pitched a one-hitter to help push the DeWitt baseball team into the D2 semis, going through six innings without giving up a hit. Falling short of the no-hitter didn't matter as he pitched the rest of the game and secured the dub for DeWitt in shutout fashion. They now advance, the Panthers advance to the state semifinal at 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. All right, following an impressive workout with the Phoenix Suns, former MSU power forward Jaren Jackson Jr., his draft stock jumped to new heights, with many sources stating that multiple NBA teams could look to trade up for the 6'11 big man. Now, Miles Bridges, alongside fellow prospect Lonnie Walker IV, left a lasting impression on the Philadelphia 76ers, according to head coach Brett Brown. Brown noted this, quote, "I thought they came in and had a tremendous spirit. If you saw different things athletically from them both, they made shots. It's obviously deeper than just looking at an hour-plus workout." There's a lot of information that we have to digest. I thought those two guys were good today. Now, Jackson is projected to go inside the top four, while Bridges is, I'm seeing, slated anywhere from, you know, maybe a top 10 lottery pick to, at the very latest, number 15. So we'll see what happens come the NBA draft, which will take place next week. It appears the University of Michigan men's basketball team is heading to Spain in August, appearing yesterday on the March Madness 365 podcast. Head coach John Beilein reminded host Andy Katz that the Wolverines were taking advantage of an NCAA rule that allows for preseason overseas travel every 4 years. Now, when asked where they were going, Beilein said, quote, "It looks like right now Spain should be, is going to be the spot. We haven't finalized everything yet because of a bunch of different things we have to be careful of." So there you have that. The University of Michigan men's basketball team taking a page out of Jim Harbaugh's book and going international to Spain. Pretty cool stuff, right? All right, unfortunate news for the Detroit Tigers yesterday. Detroit Tigers slugger Miguel Cabrera will miss the rest of the season after rupturing his left biceps tendon. That was announced by manager Ron Gardenhire. Cabrera left the Tigers 6-4 loss to the Minnesota Twins in the bottom of the third inning last night with what the team initially said was a left biceps tendon strain. An MRI determined that it was ruptured. Now, Miggy, who's 35, will have season-ending surgery later this week. Gardenhire said, quote, "He feels bad. He feels really bad. He feels like he's letting people down," end quote. Miggy suffered the injury when he swung awkwardly at Jake Odorizzi's slider. He immediately walked toward the Tigers' dugout with his left arm hanging at his side. Now, when he was joined by team trainers, Cabrera gestured to his biceps and continued walking into the Detroit clubhouse. More on that injury and loss for the Old English D in just a moment. The Detroit Lions announced that they will open training camp to the public a dozen times later this summer, including all three joint practices with Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley, and the New York Giants. Camp will open July 27th. That practice, as well as the one after it, will be open to season ticket holders. Then each of the next six practices will be open to the general public. So go out and catch the Honolulu Blue in action. Now, all those practices will begin at 9:30 a.m., so many of you will probably have to play hooky at work that morning. Gates open an hour early, and seating is on a first-come basis. Greg Hardy, the former NFL player whose promising career fizzled after charges of domestic violence and continued behavioral issues, he was awarded a contract by the UFC yesterday following his pro debut in mixed martial arts, squaring off against another former NFL player, Austin Lane. Hardy scored a 57-second KO and said after he was super excited about the opportunity to join the combat sports giant. Hardy, 1-0 officially now, quickly sent Lane, who is 4-1, a former defensive end and 2010 Jacksonville Jaguars draft pick, to a knee with a hard right hook. After Lane got back up, he was immediately met with a left hook that ended the heavyweight fight. All right, the 2026 FIFA World Cup will be hosted in the United States, Canada, and Mexico in the first ever joint bid for the tournament. The North American bid won 134-65 over the Moroccan bid, which had both financial and infrastructural problems. 60 of the tournament's matches will be held in the U.S., including everything from the quarterfinals onwards, while Mexico and Canada will host 10 games each. And speaking of the World Cup, get this. I mentioned the University of Michigan men's basketball team going to Spain, right? Well, another story that has made our headliners today. Spain, one of the favorites to win the World Cup, has found itself in disarray. Just 2 days before its first game of the competition, after the country's soccer federation coach fired coach Julian Lopetegui. I know I'm messing up that name, Ian Hawley. I know I'm messing up that name.
Hey,
I
you tried. Win some, you lose some.
Take a stab at it. How would you pronounce that last name? Yeah, go ahead. Just try it. That's L-O-P-E-T-E-G-U-I.
Lopetegui? Okay. Lopetegui? Something like that?
We'll go with that one. Julen Lopetegui. So he has been fired, so we don't have to say that name again, I guess, right? Luis Rubiales, president of the Spanish Soccer Federation, the RFEF, said at a news conference that he had no choice but to remove Julen after it emerged a day earlier that he would replace Zinedine Zidane as coach of Real Madrid after the World Cup. So just 2 days before the FIFA World Cup begins, Spain has decided to fire its head coach. Wow. That's pretty shocking stuff. All right. That does it. No more tough names. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, if you would like to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, we've got a great show coming your way. We'll talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. upping his draft stock and also the workout of Miles Bridges. Also, Mylon Smith, high school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan, who also holds the record for the ninth longest throw in the country this year. Oh, man, she'll be joining me live here in Studio West for Segment B. And then we will also address the question if the Golden State Warriors are hurting the brand of basketball. Crazy question, right? We'll tackle that in the back end. All that and so much more. Let's go.
Third base, and he is safe standing up. It's a single and two RBIs for Miguel Cabrera.
He is just a machine.
Well, Ramon Santiago is going to replace Miguel Cabrera now. And let's listen to the standing ovation for Miguel Cabrera as he walks off the field. How about this? Tip of the cap, a giant smile and hugs all the way around. And a standing ovation for Miguel Cabrera, and his teammates are there to greet him.
What a great moment. Your triple crown winner in 2012, Miguel Cabrera.
Are you over there crying behind the glass right now, Ian? Yeah, you chimed in my ear during that introduction of Miguel Cabrera. Just looking back at 2012, which was a good year for the Detroit Tigers, despite the fact that they did not win a World Series that season. But still, a good year because, you know, they got really close. They got really, really close that year to winning a World Series. And that was actually my first year diving into this industry as a professional. I remember that was my first year at Channel 6 News as a reporter and anchor there under the tutelage of Fred Heumann. And one of my very first assignments that October was to cover the World Series as the Detroit Tigers fell to the San Francisco Giants in the World Series that year. But also earlier that season, we saw Miguel Cabrera in 2012 accomplish the feat of the Triple Crown. Doesn't seem that far too long ago, right? I mean, it's 2018. That's 6 years ago. And I want to make a few points here. You know, in light of the unfortunate news that Miguel Cabrera is out for the season with a ruptured biceps. You know, it's never fun. It's never fun to watch our sports heroes age, right? You know, watching them dominate in their prime is always fun. For me, you know, looking back at my fandom, there's been probably three athletes and one team that I've had an emotional, like, super fan connection with growing up. Those three athletes: Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, and Allen Iverson. Those are the three athletes. When I was growing up, you couldn't tell me nothing I didn't know about those three. And I was a fanboy growing up of those three athletes. I mean, you know, watching the GOAT and MJ, Tiger Woods dominate, AI in the crossover. And also the team was the 2004 NBA champion going to work Detroit Pistons squad. You know, some of the biggest thrills of my childhood, you know, drooling in front of the television, on the floor, socks off, watching Jordan steal on Karl Malone, and then the pat on the butt of Brian Russell swish for the GOAT's sixth and final NBA championship, or watching Tiger Woods on a Sunday donning that red, which is why watching him this year, just watching him back on the course playing four full healthy rounds is a thrill for me. Because, you know, anytime I watch Tiger Woods pick up a golf club, I kind of go back into that childhood fandom. But, you know, watching Tiger on a Sunday in red beat the field by double digits, pulling off shots that only the man upstairs can explain. Fun, right? And then AI crossing over Ty Lue on the sideline for a made three, and his barely 6 foot frame stepping over Lue in one of the most disrespectful but awesome moments in NBA history. I remember all of those moments very vividly growing up. And then those 2004 Pistons, a team that, you know, I had watched 5 years prior to, growing my fandom during that time as I watched every game, or just about every game, alongside my late grandfather. You know, I was a fan of the Detroit Pistons even during, like, the John Barry and Corliss Williamson days that led to multiple Central Division championships. That was before, of course, Rick Carlisle left, and then Larry Brown led us to the promised land in 04. You know, and that team, that 04 Detroit Pistons team for me was really my introduction into the die-hard sporting fan world. But it hurts. You know, it feels weird. It hurts and really bothers and saddens us when we see our sports heroes finally get beat by the only undefeated man in sports history. That being Father Time. Father Time is undefeated, folks. And today and last night, after hearing the news that Miguel Cabrera is now out for the season, many Detroit Tigers fans today, especially the younger ones, who may be older now, of course are older now, but grew up watching Miguel Cabrera, one of the most lethal right-handed batters ever, 4 batting titles, 2 home run championships, and a triple crown season back in 2012, now feel that hurt. Those individuals are now bothered and saddened because it looks as though we may never see the old Miggy ever again. I think that's been on the minds of us for at least the past 3 seasons, right? Miguel Cabrera has had many injury woes in these past few years, which I'll detail in just a moment. But I don't think we're ever going to see the same Miguel Cabrera that we saw. I know that we will never see the old Miguel Cabrera that we saw during the glory days of 2012. That's it. And now his season is kaput. That's it for this season for him. After 38 games, only 3 homers, one of the Iron Men of baseball, his season is now done. Cabrera averaged 157 games per season from 2004 to 2014 without landing on the disabled list. Pretty impressive, right? But when you look at his list of injuries since 4 years ago, since 2014, it is a bit alarming. It really is. He played 159 games, hit .313, 25 home runs, had surgery after the season in 2014 to repair a stress fracture in his foot and bone spurs in his ankle. 2014 is when it began. 159 games, 313, 25 homers, had surgery, though, after the season. 2015, he landed on the disabled list. For the first time, he missed 6 weeks because of a calf strain and played only 119 games. But get this, he still hit 338 to win his fourth batting title. That's what's so remarkable. Even though that's when the injuries really started to come into play here for Miggy, he was still rather productive. 338, fourth batting title. Only 18 homers that year, though, for him. 2017, yeah, not great. He was bothered by back problems all season. He played 130 games, hit 249, two homers less than that 2015 year with 16. And if you look at this season, in the preliminary stages that this season is still in, Miguel Cabrera, he missed time earlier because of a hamstring issue, and now he is out for the year. He managed to hit over 300, though, 301 while in the lineup, but he never really found his groove at the plate. So when you look at this, Ian, I mean, Miguel Cabrera is now 35 years old. He turns 36 next April. His body is clearly struggling to handle the full season, or at least the majority of a baseball year. His body can't handle that. And for me, what was really even more alarming is the ripple effect this now has on the Detroit Tigers organization. Because if you look at Miguel Cabrera's future salaries here, Ian, $30 million per season in 2019, 2020, and 2021. $30 million per season. And then $32 million per year in 2022 and 2023. And I'm not done. And then a $30 million vesting option or an $8 million buyout for 2024. And a $30 million vesting option for 2025. You talk about handicapping an organization when it comes to a player who is clearly now on the back end of his career, struggling just to stay healthy. That's a bad contract. And don't get me wrong. You know, here in Detroit, here in the state of Michigan, we're talking about Mike Ilitch. Mike Ilitch is one of the sporting icons of our state because of what he was able to do in the city of Detroit when it comes to professional sports, period. And that extension came courtesy of the late Mike Ilitch, may he rest in peace, now deceased, and a GM no longer here. You know, the Dave Dombrowski days. Right? So Mike Ilitch, Dave Dombrowski, no longer here. That is when this contract came into play, you know, and now the current regime where the Detroit Tigers are clearly in rebuild mold here, none of us expect them to even make the playoffs this season. I said they'll be lucky to win 60 games this year. This is a squad that is not in the World Series conversation anymore. We're constantly talking about them even now still. You know, selling off pieces to see if they can get some nice young prospects that they could possibly groom in the farm system. This current regime now has to deal with this ridiculous contract that Miguel Cabrera has. And this is going to hinder them at least through what, 2024? That's a long time, Ian. So even though it's bittersweet to see this, and you know that you chimed in my ear that you think maybe Miggy may retire next season,
mm-hmm.
What happens to that contract? I mean, it's crazy, right? So what are your feels on this? The contract, in my opinion, is ludicrous. Sure, it's definitely bittersweet that we're starting to see Miguel Cabrera now on the downslope of his career. We knew it was coming, though. I mean, as I stated, Miguel Cabrera right now, he's going to be 36 years old. Come next April. You know, he's 35 right now. Well, how do you assess the situation for the Tigers?
So I looked at this contract even when it was first being made, and I thought it would have been absurd for a player of any age to be under contract that long. I mean, I know Miguel Cabrera has been fantastic throughout his career for the Tigers, even despite his numbers being down over the past few seasons after he won that Triple Crown. But a contract of this length is probably going to hurt your organization at some point, no matter who it is, and especially for a player of Miguel Cabrera's age. I mean, there will always be a place for him in the Detroit Tigers organization, but, man, those GMs got some problems on their hands when trying to work with this. So I don't necessarily know what the solution is for them, but it'll be interesting to see where they go from here in trying to negotiate with Miguel. I mean, who knows? He's a man of character. We've seen that multiple times throughout his career. So maybe he'll work with the organization and restructuring his contract a little bit. I mean, I hope so for the sake of the rest of the players on that team, if they want to win anything anytime soon. But I don't know, man. We'll see. It's definitely a big problem for the Tigers.
It
going
definitely
forward.
Is. And again, you know, it's about winning anything soon. I mean, I think it's going to take at least 4 years for them to be even in the conversation of really legitimately competing for a World Series. I like Ron Gardenhire a lot. I think that he has, you know, more control than what we saw under the leadership or lack thereof of Brad Ausmus. It seems as though, I get the feeling when listening to Ron Gardenhire and listening to how the players speak of Ron Gardenhire in the dugout, I feel like he has, and this is something I always criticize when it comes to Brad Ausmus, he has two hands firmly on the wheel. But again, I mean, he's hindered by this crazy contract with Miguel Cabrera. Also, he's hindered by the talent or lack thereof, the lack of talent for this Detroit Tigers team. It's going to take a while for them to rebuild. And again, I noted in our headliners that, you know, Miggy does feel bad about this. Gardenhire, again, said, quote, he feels bad. He feels really bad. He feels like he's letting people down, end quote. So when it comes to Miggy, I mean, you know, you look at the financial situation, that's a minimum of $162 million owed to Miggy, who was an aging superstar, who will probably move to DH next season. And, you know, when he signed the extension back in, March of 2014, he still had two seasons remaining on his contract at the time. So that's one thing. It really puzzled me. You know, you questioned it when the contract came through. Many of us did, Ian, because he still had two seasons remaining on his current contract. So why were you jumping the gun that early? And I think it was more so a loyalty thing with Mike Ilitch and the Detroit Tigers. Kind of like the crazy Kobe Bryant contract that Kobe Bryant signed with the LA Lakers on the back end of his career. They gave him all that money because he's Kobe Bryant. He has given so much to the LA Lakers organization. He has given so much to the city of LA. He's Kobe Bryant. It's a legacy contract. So this goes through Cabrera's age 40 season. We'll see what happens. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call if you have any thoughts on Miguel Cabrera being out for the season for the Old English D. Please call in or go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. And again, we're taking your calls throughout this hour. And again, you don't have to be on the air. You can call up, talk to Ian, and you can give Ian your pick, because tomorrow, round one of the U.S. Open, we are taking caller golf picks on who will lead the U.S. Open after round one. Callers can choose only one golfer, and once that golfer is chosen, no other caller can steal your golfer. The winner will win two vouchers for any Lansing Lugnuts game of choice. I'm holding up those vouchers right now to Facebook.com/currentsports and /WKAR News to our live stream. So these are the two vouchers. These two vouchers are good for any Lansing Lugnuts game throughout the summer. Let's hit our first break. And Dave, I see you. Again, callers call in 517-355-WKAR. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges in the workout circuit. And Jackson Jr. really turning heads on the workout circuit. And also, Mylon Smith, high school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan. She will join me live here in Studio West in just a moment. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass. First of all, I haven't asked how your day is going, man.
It's going good so far. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's beautiful outside today, or at least it was when I came into work. Hopefully it'll stay that way. I know we had showers predicted for today, but
we're
looking to take advantage of the sunshine today.
Right. It was a bit overcast this morning, but it looks as though it's going to be a beautiful day. I'm trying to get out and hit the driving range. I didn't tell you this, but last week I went out golfing with three of our current sports production assistants in Jason Ruff. Mm-hmm. Former current sports production assistant Jason Ruff, Zachary Swiezicki. Ryan Cole isn't one of our former PAs, but he's come on the show multiple times. Definitely a friend of the show. And I played the worst round of golf I've played in about 5 years. I was so ticked off.
Well, it's a good thing my invitation got lost in the mail, because I'd have been making fun of you the whole time.
You probably would have. when I get angry on a golf course, I like transform, dude. And it was not, you wouldn't have want to be, you did not want to be around me during that moment. So, yeah.
Clubs flying everywhere.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get out to I need to get out to the driving range. And that's just a product of me that's not playing regularly. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
practice makes perfect.
Yeah. Preach on, dude. Preach on. Let's go to line one right now before we get to our guest for today's current sports. Let's go to line one. We've got Dave from Wyoming that wants to call in and weigh in, actually, on the Golden State Warriors. Dave, you are on WKAR's Current Sports.
Hello, Al. You probably talked about it. It's 2 weeks late, but a couple weeks ago at the Class A track finals in Kentwood, Michigan.
Yeah.
At the high school, I saw Grace Stark from I believe it's White Lake Lakelands.
Okay.
High school. She ran the third fastest time for the women's high school women's 100-yard hurdles in the nation.
Wow! I did not hear about that.
With a 13.16.
That is unreal.
Well, and you know, if I'm a track fan, but when you see. She finished almost 0.4 of a second past sooner than the girl in second place. It was like, she's fast. Holy cow, she's really fast.
yeah, you think, right? Well, thank you for that information, Dave.
And I don't know where she's headed.
Okay.
Then there's also another young man, probably the biggest barrel-chested kid from Traverse City West, whose name escapes me, upset several people winning the 100 meters. And I just looked at the way he was built thinking, boy, he can really punish people as a safety.
Right.
Who is that kind of speed or a running back? But he was, I believe his name is Lefebvre, something like that. But he was pretty impressive as well. Miguel Cabrera, Mike Ilitch and Dave Dombrowski are responsible for where the Tigers are now. You know, if Cabrera doesn't hurt his back a couple of years back, he also gets traded last year in the fire sale.
Mm-hmm.
But he was damaged goods. And Mike Ilitch, they were able to dump most of the rest of those contracts. They weren't able to get rid of him. And Dave Dombrowski, we know how he built teams through the farm system by trading those guys to get players. So I think 4 to 6 years is being optimistic.
Right.
Tell you the truth. Regarding Golden State, you know, I had the opportunity to know Bobby Richardson and meet him on several occasions, the old Yankees second baseman from during their glory years. You know, those Yankees never got sick of winning World Series. And baseball was extremely popular, and they were selling a whole bunch of baseball tickets when the Yankees were dominating. So I don't believe in this Golden State is bad for the league. You know, you got to have somebody on top, and it's turned into a big market team. But Golden State, you know, I'm an older guy, but okay, when you talk about Golden State, who do you think of before this group of players? I mean, Nate Thurmond, and then what? You know, they just weren't. They were one of those teams that just were in the league and didn't show up. So I think that's good. Mm. Two other things.
Okay.
Jaren Jackson.
Well, make him quick for me, Dave.
Okay. Well, it's okay. I was on hold for about 20 minutes.
yeah.
Jaren Jackson can guard the three, the 2, the 3, the 4, and the 5
okay.
in the NBA. And that's the way that league is going. And he does have offensive skills. And because his dad was a pro, I think he's going to slide in and not have some of the issues the other guys do.
All right.
Miles Bridges, I think, is not going to fall, not going to have the kind of fall that some people think he's going to have. Because after watching Draymond Green, after Tom Izzo and other people said, yeah, he can play, and Draymond proved a whole lot of doubters wrong, I don't think the people in the NBA want to take the chance of getting hung out to dry twice and being wrong with Miles Bridges.
Thank you, Dave. Good stuff. Good stuff. You know, I don't know if the Draymond Green effect is lingering anymore. And I say that because Draymond, that's what been, what, how many years has he been in the league now? Five?
I think he got drafted in 2013.
Right. It's been about 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
5 or 6 years. We've seen players like Denzel Valentine, Bryn Forbes. We've seen a lot of Spartans come out since then. And I don't know if that perception of, okay, Tom Izzo just continues to put guys into we haven't seen a guy like Jaren Jackson Jr. That's the point I want to make. And mm-hmm. we'll double back on that in just a moment. But I want to get to our guest for today's current sports. Mullen Smith, high school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan, who also holds the record for the 9th longest throw in the country this year. She is, was a member of the Waverly High School track and field team, who won actually back-to-back Division II state titles before moving up a division and becoming the third smallest D1 school. Mullen now joins us live here in Studio S to talk about her accomplishments as she now looks toward a thrilling career, hopefully, at the next level of college. Mullen Smith, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good, good. Well, I first off want to start by asking you, I'll say this. Before we dive into the records, before we talk about you shattering the state record 3 times, I want to talk to you about your roots in the sport of discus. Because, you know, that's not a sport, you know, Mullen, that when you're driving around, you know, any neighborhood, you don't really see kids playing discus at the local parks, right? You know, normally it's basketball, maybe football, pick up football in, but, you know, nowadays it's video games, right? You never see kids outside, to be honest.
Pick up Xbox.
Exactly. Yeah, pick up Xbox, right? Exactly. So for you, Mullen, can you just kind of take us through how did you get introduced to the sport of discus and really take hold of it?
Well, my cousin, she went to Sexton, and she was a thrower, and I'd watch her throw, so I thought it was really cool. And then I started track in 8th grade, and in 8th grade, they only have shot put. So then my 9th grade year, I went to high school, and there was also discus. I was like, okay, I'll try that.
So you didn't try the sport of discus until you got to high school then, right?
Yeah.
So when you first tried it, Mullen, you know, do you remember when you first picked up a discus and what that feeling was like? And is there a moment that you knew, okay, I'm pretty good at this?
Well, when I first started throwing, I was like throwing backwards, like it was really bad. Like my first throw in high school was like 77 feet.
Mm-hmm. So that's bad because I'm so ignorant to the sport. So what is average for a throw in discus?
Probably a good throw would be, I don't make it to states, you have to throw 111. Mm-hmm. So somewhere around there is a good throw.
So you threw 70 feet your first time
mm-hmm.
when you went up.
Yeah.
So you didn't quite know when you first threw whether or not you were good at it then, right?
Yeah.
So when was the moment when you said, okay, I'm getting better at this?
Probably my sophomore year. And I broke my school record for discus. It's probably when I thought I was pretty good.
And what was that record?
I want to say 125, I think. Something around there. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's above what you said was average, right? As long as it's above average, I guess it's good, right, Mullen?
Yeah.
Now, so when you first started, you know, practicing within the sport, did you enjoy it at first, or, you know, did you kind of have to get it acclimated with it at first?
It was always really fun. A lot of my friends are on the track team, so that made it fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Now, a lot of my listeners don't know anything about discus. They don't know how it's scored. They don't know about the rounds. They don't know the rules. Can you kind of take us through just kind of the intricacies of the sport so that when we're out there watching you do what you do, when you take your talents to college, we understand a bit about it. How is the sport scored? What is the competition like? Just the rules and the logistics of it.
Well, it's scored the same as, like, the running event. When you throw, you can't, like, step over the circle, and you have to, like, exit through the back, or if you don't, then it's a scratch and it doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And when you throw, there's sector lines, and if the discus hits the lines, it doesn't count either.
Okay. And those lines, how do those lines look? Are they, they're just out in the field?
Yeah.
They're markers?
Well, like, I don't really know.
It's hard to describe, huh? Yeah. But you're standing in a circle, mm-hmm. and you twirl, right?
Yeah.
I've seen it in movies, all right? You twirl, and you just kind of launch it mm-hmm. at a point, and you just got to hope that it goes pretty far.
Yeah.
In your estimation, Mullen, what makes a good discus thrower? What does it take to be good at this sport?
I guess anyone who wants to try it and wants to be dedicated, anyone can be good at it, I think. It's really, once you get it, it's not that hard.
It's just that easy just to, you know, to break three state records, right, Mullen? When it comes to technique, what's the technique? What does it take technique-wise to be a good discus thrower?
Honestly, I don't know, because my form's still really bad. Yesterday I went out to Zealand to work with this Zealand coach who's really good at technique, so I can get ready for nationals this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have, like, a lot of work with that.
So nationals begin this weekend for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where will they be taking place?
North Carolina.
Yeah. You've been what is your schedule like right now? How often have you been practicing and preparing for that moment?
Mostly every day besides the weekends, I practice with my coach.
How long? How long are the sessions?
Probably 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you head out, you fly out when?
Friday.
On Friday. Well, we're wishing you good luck. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Mullen Smith, high school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan, who also holds the record for the 9th longest throw in the country this year. Mullen, has that always, has a state record? Or even, you know, being in the national conversation, has that been on your radar? Has that been a goal? And if so, how long has that been a goal of yours?
Well, my goal for this season was to break the state record.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a goal since the beginning of the season. And I knew it would take a lot of work, so I had to tell my coach I wanted to do it. Because when she was in high school, the girl who had the record before was throwing against her. So she knew her and her whole family. And actually, the coach that I worked with yesterday, it was his daughter who held the record before me.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to meet her at all?
No, I haven't.
Because that's something else when you meet somebody who has broken, you know, their record. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what that interaction will be like for you. I'm pretty sure you'll meet her one day, right? Very
yeah,
soon, I hope.
Probably.
Now, as it stands, you, Mullen, you broke the Division I MHSAA record 3 times at East Kentwood. Successive throws of 157 feet 4 inches, then 163 feet, and then finally 163 feet and 9 inches. That's pretty amazing. Did you know that you had broken the record right then and there when you did it? Or did you have to kind of get the score afterwards, and did you know what the target was for you to get?
I knew I broke it because that was my goal all season, so I knew the mark.
Right.
So I was really excited. And then after I broke it, I was just like, okay, why not just keep trying to go further?
Which you did, right, with 163. Did you have to kind of contain your emotion, though, to kind of still be in the moment after you broke it? You said, all right, I've broken it now. I still got work to do, though.
Well, not really, because at first I was really nervous. So then after I broke it, like, all my nerves were gone. So
right.
That helped.
It was just like, all right, I'm going all out now, right? The record is broken. Now, you know, and I didn't know this either until, you know, reading this in the paper that day. You finished second in the shot put as well. Is that right? So you also compete in the shot put, you did in high school. Are those two sports pretty similar? I mean, how did you get involved with shot put as well?
I just, like I said, I started that in eighth grade.
Right.
That was the only throwing event. But yeah, that day was really fun because also she broke the state record for shot put. So that was really cool.
Who's that?
Her name is Corinne. She goes to East Kentwood.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that was really cool to watch.
All right. And at Lansing Waverly, again, you won back-to-back, as I mentioned, back-to-back Division II state titles. That is before you all moved up. Again, becoming the third smallest D1 school, you know, what was it like? How would you describe, you know, your 4 years at Lansing Waverly? I know it's a bit bittersweet. You're going to miss all your friends. Mm-hmm. You're going to be moving away. How would you describe your 4 years at Lansing Waverly and your time there? And what did you learn there?
I'd say it was really fun. Most of my close friends are on the track team. And as a sophomore, winning like the state title as a team, that was really cool. And then doing it as a junior, I was like, wow, we did it again. And then this year we knew like we probably weren't going to do as well, but we all just like had the goals like to try our best like as individuals and just score as many points.
Yeah. All right, so now you go to college. Well, you got nationals coming up mm-hmm. before that, mm-hmm. but you have committed to the University of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's where you'll be going, you know, come fall on a track scholarship. How many schools were trying to get you to come to their track and field program, Mullen? And what gave the University of Cincinnati the upper hand? What made you want to go there?
Well, at first I was really set on going to MSU. And then I talked to the coach at Cincinnati, and I was like, okay, I can go on a visit. Why not? So I wasn't really going there thinking I was going to, like, commit there. Mm-hmm. But once I got there, I just, like, loved all the people there and the track team. And I just, like, fell in love with the campus. So I was like, I really want to go there. But I hadn't signed yet. And then I started talking to the University of Michigan. And I took a visit there, but I still didn't like as much as Cincinnati. So
I got a question. So MSU and U of M both recruited you. Did you like U of M over MSU? I'm curious.
I don't know. I think I liked MSU a little more.
Okay, good. Spartan fans listening are like, okay, good. You better not have said U of M, but okay, gotcha. Yeah. So it was just the experience. I mean, when you go on that visit, you know, you just kind of fell in love with the campus, fell in love with the atmosphere, mm-hmm. and decided to commit there.
Yeah.
So I know you're very excited going to the University of Cincinnati. I have to ask this. Are the Olympics on your radar? Is that something you want to pursue or just kind of go to college, compete collegiately, get your degree and go from there?
I just want to see how far I can go with throwing. So hopefully I make it to Olympics one day.
Is that a goal? Is that a conscious goal of yours?
Yeah.
That is. Mm-hmm. That's something you're dreaming about.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. So nationals this weekend, you leave for nationals this Friday. Keep us updated on what you do out there. We got to have you back and to talk about that. Hopefully you're coming through with the national championship. Let's hope so. Right, Mullen?
Yeah, I hope so.
All right. Mullen Smith, again, just unreal, right? High school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan. Holds the record for the 9th longest throw in the country. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Mullen Smith, high school Division I discus record holder in the state of Michigan. Pretty impressive. Ian, I'm curious, did you run track and field or do any events in track and field when you were in high school?
Goodness, no.
You weren't the athletic type, huh?
Running is my worst enemy. And, you know, as skinny as I am, and I have sports-induced asthma, which basically means I'm medically inclined to be a nerd.
Wow. So when you, if you're like involved in any physical activity, your asthma kicks in hard?
Yeah. Yeah. Even just running down the street chasing the taco truck.
Wow. Well, don't run down the street and chase the taco truck. All right. Just get in the car and go to Taco Bell.
I kept my talents on the lacrosse field instead of track. I mean, track, the thing I don't like about track, I would prefer to do cross country if I were a runner because, you know, in track, you're just running in a circle, you know, there's no change of scenery.
Yeah,
at least with cross country, you're running on different tracks every day and, you know, running through different areas of, you know, God's green earth.
Yeah, but you're running cross country, though. I mean, literally across.
I don't have to go from Michigan to Mexico,
still,
you know?
What I mean by that is the distances for cross country runners are crazy.
True.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't run that long. You know, just give me track and field. I only got to give me like the, you know, I take the 1500 meter. You know what I mean? I'm not running across country. Literally.
How about the 100 meter dash?
Yeah. That'd be
short and easy. You're in, you're out, man.
Sign me up. But, you know, it's so impressive because, I mean, you don't have to run when it comes to track and field events. I mean, you could, again, like Mullen Smith, you know, you could throw the discus. I mean, that's amazing. I don't get a chance to meet many athletes who participate in that sport. So it was just, you know, especially from the high school standpoint, you know, I was curious to pick Mullen's brain when it comes to competition within that sport on the high school level. But we're wishing her well. So tomorrow, I'm going to lead the show with this topic concerning the workout circuit of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges. I got some points I want to make when it comes to those two players and their NBA draft stocks. And we may even have an interview with Jaren Jackson Jr. We may have an interview with Jaren Jackson Jr. All right, so tune in tomorrow. We may have a surprise for you all. And also, I'll address that question, are the Warriors hurting basketball? I know I've been tabling it. Tune in. 23-hour break. Be easy, people.